God's grace and his peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. We're continuing our sermon series through the fruit of the Spirit, and today we'll be focusing on the word fruitfulness as we hear Paul's words to the Galatians in chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. This is our text. First of all, we need to sort of discriminate the difference between faith and faithfulness. Both are related, but there is a difference. Faith is a gift of God, who works faith in you via baptism or God's word. Faithfulness, however, is the trusting in God's promises, the trusting in that faith that is given to you through baptism, especially during times of temptation and in times of trial. Faithfulness is a byproduct of faith. Hence, that's why it's called a fruit of the Spirit. Let me just take you back down memory lane for some of you when you were going through junior high confirmation class. And you got to the third article of the Apostles' Creed, which we just confessed in church. The article that begins, I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Martin Luther writes this. What does this mean in connection to this third article? He says, I believe that I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. In the same way he calls, gathers, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. In this Christian church, he daily and richly forgives all my sins and the sins of all believers. On the last day, he will raise me and all the dead and give eternal life to me and all believers in Christ. This is most certainly true. A couple key words here to help explain the difference between faith and faithfulness are that the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel and has called you. And the Holy Spirit has kept me and you in the true faith. This called part is the gift of faith. The kept part is that faithfulness. So the fruit of the Spirit is actually a fruit that we get to enjoy for ourselves. Very often, as we've been talking about the other fruits of the Spirit, the ones previously, we focus upon how God gives these fruits to us so that we in turn can share this fruit with those around us. However, this fruit is mostly intended for you. You are the primary purpose of this fruit. God gives you this faith, and then the byproduct of this faith, faithfulness, is there to help you, especially during times of trials and temptations. When the devil is trying to woo you away from God's word and that faith. It seems to make sense. If you owned a fruit tree, wouldn't you want to indulge in some of its fruit? The answer is yes. And as believers in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we know at all times we're supposed to cling to our Lord and Savior during the good times, during the plenteous times, and during the bad and difficult times. The problem comes in is what happens when Christians cry out, "Where is God?" during very difficult times. Currently, in our nation, we are facing many signs of a recession. It seems like the price of gas goes up and up. We have our nation's military deployed in conflicts in Afghanistan and Iraq. And as many Christians are crying out, "Where is God in all of this?" I want you to pause for a moment and think, where was God in the past? I'm sure that there were many Christians who also had previously cried out, "Where is God?" when this nation was divided against itself in a civil war, when approximately 640,000 people died, far out more than both Iraq and Afghanistan combined. I'm sure there was a great cry that went out when the stock market crashed, helping lead this nation into the Great Depression. Where was God then? Where is God now? Where he always promises to be. He is where he promises to be, as God's word teaches us in his word, whenever his word is taught in its purity, and where his sacraments are administered. The Bible reminds us that Jesus is with us always. Even where two or three are gathered in his name, he promises to be there. Do you believe and trust in the promises of God? Faithfulness trusts in that promise of God, even during very difficult times. During times when we don't see a good and pleasant future, during times when we don't seem to change, and we really need to change, during times when all seems to be dark, and everything seems, and sin seems to always be getting the upper hand in life, it is during that time, when it seems like all is lost, we need to remember where God is. He is with us. Now that is faithfulness. Faithfulness is trusting in the promises of God during the good times and during the bad times. It's almost like those wedding vows. You get married for better, for worse. Now, if you happen to be facing one of those bad times now, you might be thinking to yourself, Pastor, it's probably easier to trust in God during the good times, during the plenteous times, isn't it? Well, actually, the author of the Proverbs may suggest otherwise. From Proverbs chapter 30, beginning with verse 8, the author writes, "Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that is needful for me, lest I be full and deny you and say, 'Who is the Lord?' Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of my God." Here the author of the Proverbs entertains an idea. If God gives you so much blessings, you will be so prosperous, you might forget the Lord. You might trust in your own devices and say, "Look what I have acquired, look what I have earned." Now, there's nothing wrong with blessings and gifts from God. By all means, we want them. But the problem is, do we lose our faith? Does our faithfulness decrease to the point where we actually say, "Who is God in all of this?" Because we are so focused upon the things of this world. Yes, during plenteous times, some may trust in their own resources instead of trusting in God's resources. So, where should we be? Should we be at the point of poverty? The proverbist reminds us, no, then we might be more tempted to steal. Should we have more of abundance? No, then the proverbist reminds us that we may trust in the possessions. So I guess we need to sort of be like a middle class here, which it seems like in today's world is shrinking more and more. Needless to say, you can remain faithful to our Lord and Savior and trust in his promises, whether you have a lot or very little or nothing at all. No one can take that faith away from you, but the devil will try to shift you elsewhere. Your faithfulness decreases, and eventually you give up that precious gift from God. If it doesn't seem like I'm sort of asking for the impossible, just wait. We have another passage from God here in describing faithfulness. In Luke chapter 17, verses 3 through 5, Jesus says, "Pay attention to yourselves. If your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you 7 times in a day and turns to you 7 times saying, I repent, you must forgive him. The apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith. Now, I will admit, the ESV here translates that word faith. It's not that they were, quote-unquote, given a different faith. No, they believed and trusted in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. They knew him to be the Son of God. We weren't asking for an increase of that, like a double baptism or something, no. What we're here talking about here is faithfulness. The disciples at a point of saying, this is next to impossible to do, is saying, increase our faithfulness. The apostles' natural reaction to forgiving a brother who is constantly sinning against them is increase our faith. Yes, this is challenging. This is something that comes from God. It doesn't come from us. Our natural defenses would come up. If someone sins against us, our natural defenses would say, no, I don't want to forgive somebody. Our natural defenses would be pushing other people away. But the Spirit within us, given to us by faith, increases the fruit of faithfulness in which we say, yes, I forgive you. We pray this in the Lord's Prayer, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. This isn't something we do by our nature, but is done by the leading of the Holy Spirit. When we think that the trials and the temptations of this world are getting to us too much, we need to remember the classic Bible verse that Paul gives to us from 1 Corinthians chapter 10, beginning with verse 13. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but with the temptation he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. Now I will admit this Bible passage sounds a little unfair. How many of us have been at the point of, so to speak, at the end of our rope, where it seems like life is getting the better end of us and we just want to give up? This verse doesn't sound very fair because it almost seems like God is giving us more than we can bear. Until you understand the difference between faith and faithfulness. Faith is given as a gift, which has as a byproduct faithfulness, which trusts in God's promises. So God is faithful. As a Christian, you believe and trust in Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit has given this faith to you, and you remain attached to his word and promises. But during times of trials and temptation, are you believing the promises that are given to you by God? So if you see the trials and the temptations of the world getting to you too much, what do we need to do? We need to trust in the promises of God. Return to where God's word is clearly taught. Return to the sacraments where you are strengthened. God does not want you to reject the faith, but wants the faith in you to blossom into faithfulness. Throughout this struggle with temptations and trials, we need to remember that it is not your faith. It is God's gift to you. Too often I hear people speaking that it's their faith. This is what I believe. I'll believe in this and I won't believe in that. I'll pick this faith here to believe in and I won't believe in that article. It's almost like some people saying, you know, I'll believe in the incarnation, but I won't believe in the real presence. I'll believe in this aspect, but I will deny baptism here. This isn't some cafeteria type style of Christianity. This is God's gift to you. Let me illustrate this way. God's gift to you started when Jesus Christ dies on the cross for the forgiveness of your sins. If you choose to believe in that or not, like you have much of a choice, so to speak, the benefit is still there. There are many people who deny that Jesus Christ died on the cross for the forgiveness of their sins. The strange thing is, through this wonderful event, God still forgives them their sins. They are just saying no to the gift. And just because people say no to the gift does not take away the fact that Jesus did die on the cross for the forgiveness of your sins. How does this help us with trials and temptations? We look to the cross and we say, yes, I believe that did occur. God's promises are true. God is with me. He will strengthen me. And because of the faith He gives to me, it will produce faithfulness to help me to cling to God's word during difficult times of trials and temptations. Besides, do we not remember the victory of Easter Sunday? The gift of the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in which we now see God's pronouncement that, yes, sin, death, and the devil was defeated on Good Friday. Death is no longer the victor. And since Jesus' death has already defeated sin, death, and the devil, cannot God do that for you in the midst of your trials and temptations? Can He not give you that gift of faith which He already has given to you? And can it not blossom into faithfulness to endure even the greatest of trials and temptations? And the answer is yes. He has, and He will continue to do so. So the next time, when the trial and temptations of this world seem to be getting the best of you, the next time when someone sins against you and you cannot find it in your heart to forgive them, remember the apostle's statement, Lord, increase our faith. Come hear God's forgiving word, that word for you, in which Christ then forgives you your sins and bestows His forgiveness upon you, strengthens you with His own body and blood in the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. Come as the faith within you produces faithfulness in the midst of God's words and sacraments. This is the difference between faith and faithfulness. Faith is that gift. Faithfulness is a byproduct of that faith to help you to withstand trials and temptations. So this day we give great praise and thanks to God. Because as we are able to stand firm in the midst of trials and temptations, the rest of the world does see us. And even though this fruit is designed for us, the rest of the world does, as they see our demonstration of faithfulness, has a wonderful testimony given to it. All because of that faith within you, the Holy Spirit is producing that fruit of the Spirit, that gift of faithfulness. In His name, amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.